Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. Where are your parents, if I may ask? Do they know you're here?
They don't know I'm here.
I see.
But they haven't known for a while where I am.
You think he's the reason I showed up there?
I mean, it only makes sense, doesn't it?
He is not the reason I showed up there. I was sent by the stranger to look for all of you, at least a day before.
Oh, what a surprise. I want to use Walter's ability to look into the code. I want to use that on Dakota.
There is an amount of code that has been embedded into Dakota. It's very similar to that the driver has. Retrieve someone from me. Whoever could that be?
The name's Dorothy Reed.
Dorothy. Ah, yes. The little rabbit who wandered her way into here. That is the purpose of the rehabilitation service, is to help those who have lost the path find it again.
You brainwashing her then?
Brainwashing? To be fair, I've never seen anyone in such an advanced state with the amount of lucidity you have.
Wow, I'll try to be proud of that.
As you should be. It means he hasn't given up on you yet. Yes, you may take the girl if she so wishes after she is finished with her rehabilitation. I will say, rehabilitation takes time. It is not a thing that happens in a day. It can take days, weeks, months for some people. Though, I suppose I can speed up the process if we would like. Though I'm not sure she will be ready for the final step in our program so quickly, but we can leave that up to her. Would you like to come with me? We can ask her ourselves.
Dakota, like, kind of starts to walk that way and then, like, looks over and, kind of, like, head, like, tells, like, to kind of key, like, the driver to come with.
The driver is, she's shook right now. and follows very quietly, with all of you. We're going to cut to Dorothy. Sorry it took so long.
That's fine. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Wild.
Just you all's reaction.
Kind of wild up in here.
To the healer bit. Stuff is very funny. Cool. Dorothy, you're having a good brunch right now.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's great. I can't remember all the stuff that we said was here.
Or I don't know either, but it's delicious.
Is here. Yeah, you're sitting at, you know, one at the, at one of the long, like, fold-out tables. They have, like, the plastic table lining on them with food that has been put out. What kind of food do you think it is?
Oh, I think it'd be great if it was, like, pancakes. You can definitely make as many pancakes as you need for like a big group of people.
Pancakes, eggs, bacon. Oh, at this point, it's just breakfast.
Absolutely.
There's nothing very brunchy about it. Maybe there's
maybe some fries.
Yeah, it's just breakfast. Yeah, fuck it.
Instantly brunch if you add a mimosa.
Yeah, but this
Dorothy has a mimosa, definitely.
You add communion wine.
No, this isn't a Catholic church.
Gross.
There's no communion wine. It's grape juice. Grape juice and crackers.
It's mimosas. No.
Yeah.
Communion mimosas.
Would a virgin mimosa be grape juice mixed with orange juice?
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I think it'd just be like sparkling orange juice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Gross.
So, Dorothy, you're sitting here. Are you like sitting by yourself? Or are you trying to like distance yourself from people? Or are you sitting by anyone? Do you sit by like Kayla?
I was about to say, I think Kayla was nice to me. I'm gonna sit near her.
Yeah, for sure. I think Kayla sits by like two other people as well. So it's like kind of like a group of four of you. And I think at this point you've been kind of introduced to these two other people. So apart from Kayla, there is another man. He's a bit older, I'd say like 50s. He's this shorter black man, balding. He has glasses, a little chubby. I think he's wearing just like a plain like white button down and like khaki slacks, like a belt, wearing dress shoes, very kind of like a stiff looking kind of guy. He's a bit nervous, very like kind of hunched over posture. His name is Tyree George. You see he kind of has fur growing all over his body, and it's like this, it's like kind of like this copper brown fur. You see he has like kind of like two like small roundish ears. Or I think actually his ears are regular human ears that are noticeably smaller than they should be and are slightly higher up on the head than they should be and like kind of covered in fur. Almost if they're like mid-transformation of like doing the full move up to being like on, like more closer towards the top of the head. And I think his skull shape is slowly becoming more like kind of angled almost. And like the front of his face protruding a little bit, as if it will eventually become a snout, but is not fully there yet. And like the fur is a bit lighter on the face. It's not fully covering all of it, but it's kind of getting there. For transparency, this is someone who is turning into a capybara.
So good.
Not for him, but yeah.
I mean, not great, but yeah.
Why does he want to stop it?
Because not all people end up like Walter is the reason. And then the other person, their name is Aaron. They are... this one's a bit interesting. I think of Tyree and Kayla... Aaron, like in comparison to Tyree and Kayla, Aaron seems like they are the furthest along in their transformation, where very few human parts remain in a way that feels and looks very uncomfortable. You know, just due to conversation, Aaron is in their like early 20s. Their skin is this kind of lightish gray, almost kind of leathery skin. Their eyes are beady black, like kind of on the side of a protruding face. They have arms and hands, but you don't know for how much longer they will, as their arms have started to widen out, and their fingers are like slowly like molding closer together. There's like kind of webbing in between them that is like pulling them together almost, and they have limited dexterity in their hands at this point. They have a dorsal fin and a blowhole as they are turning into a porpoise. They don't have any of their hair left. It is hard to say how much longer they would have before they are almost fully this animal. Yeah. They have to use a wheelchair to move around because their legs have been fused together to form a tail. It's not great. It's not great. They don't talk much.
Don't blame them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything that you know you're doing here?
Other than just Miss Kayla again?
Kayla, she's in like her mid-30s, I'd say.
Okay, so like in settings, I was just introduced to these people, or I've just like picked this up from general conversation, or
both. Like it would have been like when you like came to sat down with her, she'd be like, "Oh yeah, here are my friends. You know, this is Tyree, this is Aaron." Like there'd be some conversation, so you picked up, you know, other stuff.
Yeah.
From that conversation, that kind of deal.
Okay, overall, I think Dorothy's really just trying to take in what's generally going on, what the plan is with, like, what she's gotten herself into. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, it's pretty great. She's getting brunch. But, like, she's just wondering, like, when the other shoe drops. Like, you know, if there's something else that's going to happen.
Yeah, you've been probably hearing them like talk about like, you know, how rehabilitation is going, like how all of that's going, like them talking about stuff. Would you like to take a gander just like as a general, like from having listened to conversation and all of that stuff?
I would love to.
Absolutely. You take a long, hard look around, describe what you're looking into, roll plus noodle.
Ah, sweet. That is a 9.
A 9 on a 7 to 9. Ask your GM 2 of the following questions. One answer will be the truth. The other a lie.
Love it when you get to lie to me. I don't want you to lie to me. let's see. How about what are they thinking and what here isn't as it appears to be?
I think the answer to what are they thinking is pretty apparent. Everyone in here is in some stage of transformation and at some stage in their rehabilitation as well. This is kind of a space where a lot of people undergoing similar traumas, not exactly the same, but similar and tied to a root cause, right? Can have the space where there are people who understand that struggle to a certain degree, where they have people that can relate to them, that they can have conversations with it about, where you can talk about, you know, how fucking itchy it is to have fur growing through, like growing out of you, and like hair in places that you've never had before. And like, not just like that it's itchy, but like how that makes you feel as like a person who is undergoing that change. Like having that kind of space, like means the world to these people. In a world that otherwise would discard them and let them fall by the wayside and turn into animals and not think anything else about it, you know? These people are grateful. You know? These people are scared. They are anxious, but they're hopeful that there is the chance for something better, right? Because they've seen proof. They have seen people who came in here in terrible stages where it seemed like there would be no help left, and then go through the process and leave human.
Okay.
What here is not what it appears to be. There is something about Aaron that is off to you. Aaron's quiet, you know, seems a little irritated, answers questions in very, like, kind of short, like, brief, like, you know, yes, no, maybe a couple of words at most. But it seems like they're quiet, not because that is who they are as a person, in a way where it's like, you know, you can tell when someone is just naturally quiet, right? Where it's like, oh, you can kind of tell, like, oh, they're a little shy, they don't want to talk now, or, like, you know, maybe they don't have anything to say. Like, you can, you know, after being around a person, you can kind of tell, like, oh, this is a person who doesn't talk much. Aaron doesn't seem like they're quiet for that reason. They seem like they're quiet because they're taking in information. They're looking around. They're listening. They're doing the same thing you're doing, where they're trying to piece some stuff together, it seems, just based on, like, the way that they're looking around, like, kind of like the thing where, like, their head kind of, like, turns slightly in the direction of someone else having a conversation, right? Where it's like they look like they're listening in on, like, other people's conversations, that kind of thing. They are also the only person that you have met in the Sublime at all that uses alternative pronouns. I imagine there was a point in a conversation where either Kayla or Tyree or someone used she, her pronouns for Aaron, and Aaron corrected them and said that they used they, them pronouns, which is unlike anybody else that you've met here so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Sorry, just trying to think, like, what Dorothy's going to do with this kind of information.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Dorothy is sitting next to Miss Kayla. Mm-hmm. And she's going to eventually, if there's, like, a lull in the conversation, she's going to very quietly get Miss Kayla's attention. And ask her, Miss Kayla, when did you come here to the Sublime?
Oh, I don't remember. What do you remember? What her voice was? I'm sorry.
And she had a little bit of a southern twang, actually.
Yeah, that kind of feels like something I would do for her. All right. When did I come? I've been in the Sublime couple of months now, I'd say. You know, we don't really talk about that here, Dorothy. Or at least, you know, we try not to talk about it. You understand? The goal of us being here is to think about being here, you know?
No. I don't know.
Oh, well, you're new. You'll pick it up.
I'm trying to go home. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
I think Tyree comes in and says, Dorothy, yes. In a way, it's more of part of our rehabilitation is trying to understand and accept that we are home. It's an important part of the process. We are here. There's a place for us here if we want it. And in that makes this place, you know, our home.
Dorothy's pretty wary of Tyree, but she absorbs that information and looks at Miss Kayla in confusion and a little bit of hurt and just says, but I don't belong here. I have a home.
Dorothy, I'm not the one to explain this to you. I'm sorry. I'm still, you know, I still got my own stuff I'm working on. I understand where you're coming from, sweetie. I really do. It's hard to accept change, especially big changes like moving from one place to another, you know?
Oh, no, I've done that a lot. I know that.
Change. Okay. So this is just kind of like
that. This isn't that kind of change. No, it's different.
Is it? In what way?
Because they found my place and they wanted me. And then I got lost and I need to go back because it's the only place that's ever wanted me.
Have you ever thought that this place wants you as well?
I don't want this place. It's scary and weird and it's doing this to me. And I like point at my face. Why would I ever want a place like this? I have a place. I have a home. I have people who like me. And I want to go back to it.
Dorothy? Can I ask you to make a roll for me? I believe you know what roll this is.
Great.
When you take action to further your own independence, roll plus stat. The stat will be correlated to the action taken. For example, if you run away from someone, yada, 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 roll plus teen. But if you argue with them to assert your agency, roll plus mush, which this is. On a 10 plus, you know, so on and so forth. So roll it.
Cool. I get to roll this one with disadvantage, too.
That is correct.
Also good.
That is true.
Also good. All right. Dice gods, be merciful. Oh, that one. A 9.
On a 7 or 9, choose one from below.
Let's go with the first choice.
Gain a new symptom. Ooh, I love that. So you say this to her, and she goes, Dorothy, I get it. None of us would be here if we haven't been there before, Dorothy. We understand. Trust me, we do. But there ain't not much you can do about it, love. You know? It has happened. We are here. And life has funny ways of throwing curveballs. We think we understand the situation. We think we're in a place that we want to be. We think life is good or getting better. Sometimes we just even think that we're stable. And then life has a way of showing us that we were wrong. Dorothy, you may not want this place. I get that. But this place wants you. And it's giving you an opportunity to be somewhere unlike any place you have ever been before, where things are clear, where your role in life is not just transparent, but molded for you, chosen for you. It takes all that guesswork out, all the pain of choosing wrong over and over and over again. Hurting yourself, hurting other people, it's a place where you don't gotta go through that. And if you don't want it, that's fine. But understand, you're not going to be better off for it. If you reject it, it will reject you right back. I think it's at this time that Sister May, Dakota, the driver, and Walter walk in from down the hall. Dakota and Walter, the two of you, you all have seen, like, the, you know, the underbelly of, like, a church, right? Like, the basement part where it's, like, a bunch of, like, you know, there's some halls with, like, some rooms for, like, meeting rooms.
Like any other office building, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. You get to, like, this open, like, kind of lobby space where breakfast has been like set out. Like there are fold out tables with like lining. There's trays of food like around the walls of it, and a bunch of people sitting down having breakfast, all of them in various stages of transformation. And amongst them, you see Dorothy talking with some people. Dorothy, you see Sister May, you see the driver, probably don't see Walter just because he's on the ground.
He's a small little guy.
But you also see someone who vaguely looks like Dakota to you.
Do they even, though? Like, they even?
I think they're probably almost unrecognizable at first.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You may recognize, like, the gauges?
Yeah.
I almost want to say just because, like Walter wasn't like, who are you?
Yeah.
But
you also...
Dakota's not.
But you also like, saw it happen. Them
transform. Like, yeah, it happened right in front of you.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And I think Edgar really only noticed because you were with me.
Yeah, like Edgar might not have even clocked it as you as well.
Also, just as like a general thing, I feel like in this form is, I would say it would be the general person's thing to read this individual as male.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just so that's kind of like put out there.
Yeah.
So I see a stranger.
So you see a stranger. Yes.
Dakota definitely makes, like, eye contact with Dorothy for, like, a moment. Or at least tries to. I don't know what Dorothy does.
Dorothy clocks, like, somebody with Sister May and just assumes it's probably somebody else. The rehabilitation program and reading them as an unfamiliar male immediately looks away.
They also have spider webs.
Yeah, right.
There's so much spider imagery.
It's immediately like, well, I'm not going to be friends with that person.
Like the worst kind of person that Dorothy could see just walked into the room.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. So like sees that and is like immediately like shying away from any eye contact, like no recognition, just like I'm not going to fuck with that person, whoever they are.
Also, I don't know if you're aware, Dorothy, but Dakota does also have a black turtle tattoo on his neck.
Cool.
It's pretty big too.
So they walk in. Sister May sees you and says, Dorothy, could you come here?
Look up, and with a lot of confusion on my face, I like scoot out my chair.
Yeah.
And I wander over to Sister May.
Oh, yeah. And upon like rounding the corner, you see Walter with them as well.
Walter?
Hey, Dorothy. How you doing?
What are you doing here?
Well, we came looking for you.
Just you?
Not me. And like, I think that's when Walter realizes that Dorothy doesn't recognize Dakota. And he says, me and Dakota. Okay.
Where? Dakota's not here.
And he like, points with his nose.
Dakota looks in the direction, like, as if, like, Dakota's also, like, turning to look and see where Dakota is.
Dorothy just looks confused and a little hurt at Walter. like glances up again at the stranger in front of her, and edges a little bit closer to Sister May.
Hold on. So there's some specific details about the way that Dakota looks currently that might
ping. Yeah, I don't know. Wait, does Dorothy not know that either?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, so Dorothy, you would see the long tattoo arm.
Well, I have a leather jacket on.
Oh, does the jacket cover the tattoo? I've always imagined that it didn't for some reason. Okay, never mind.
No, yeah, okay, it does. Never mind then. But you would see the symbols and insignias on Dakota's jacket.
The spiders? I don't see the...
yeah.
No. There's the Edward's head.
That's on the back. Isn't that
on the back? That's on the back.
No, there's one on the front too. Yeah, there's a smaller one on the front.
That you shared does have a patch on the front. Yeah.
I don't think Dorothy's taking a long, hard look at this person.
Yeah, she's totally fair.
Not, that's fair. She's not a fan Ed of head. This person.
Totally fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So also, she just looks and then like. Yeah, looks a little hurt at Walter and is going to back away a little bit.
Also, to tell you, Hilda, this is what Dakota's hair also looks like.
Which relatively looks like what his hair looked like
No. It was different before. Like, hold on. Okay, I'm not going to go.
No, you're totally fine.
Before it was...
You're totally fine. I'm basing it off of the picture.
That's pretty close to how it was before, right? It looks
kind of similar. This one seems more poofy.
Before it was more.
Like Dorothy could probably piece this out.
Yeah, no.
But she doesn't. She's not looking at this person.
Yeah, yeah.
This is important to my brain.
Okay, so
this distinction is made.
Perfectly fair.
Not like obviously perfect, but it looked like this before.
Okay, fair.
Okay, sure. Fair. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Sorry, that's important in my brain.
No, yeah.
Okay.
So Walter just kind of says, "God damn it, Dakota."
What do you mean?
he's saying that like to Dakota, and does he respond?
Oh no, Dakota's like playing like absolutely oblivious.
I think Sister May clears her throat.
Dakota finally kind of like rolls his eyes and looks at Dorothy and goes, "Hi, Dorothy.
Who are you?"
Dorothy, this is Dakota.
That's not my sister.
Hearing that, Dakota like skin crawls. Just hearing that word. Yeah, and looks away from Dorothy. And Dakota looks at Dorothy and goes, "You're right. I'm not your sister."
What'd you do with her? Who are you? Why do you know my name? Why are you with Walter? What's going on?
The driver is also here, to be clear.
She's
also here.
Kendrick, we are dealing with some other stuff. No,
I'm
right
just
now.
Saying, I think in Dorothy's head, she left three people and three people came back.
No, but for one sure.
It's different. And Walter's like, no, this is her, or this is him now.
Also, I want to rectify that. Like, I think Dakota wanted to see what Dorothy would do with, like, out. Him being there.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota was kind of like, "Oh, well, like, you don't think I'm in the room. Like, what do you have to say?"
Yeah.
I just want, it's just like kind of the.
Yeah.
Elaborate on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Dorothy saying that. I freed her, Dorothy.
Okay, no, don't say weird shit like that. Come on. This is. Okay. Dorothy, this is Dakota. Now, Dakota can correct me on this if I have made some assumptions that are perhaps not true, but
Dakota is not a girl. Am I right about that?
Took you long enough.
Yeah, I mean, I heard some of the stuff you said. I pieced it together. Do you...
Mr. May, you understand? I'm scared. I don't know...
Dorothy, there is nothing to be afraid of. I understand you might be a little confused, but the truth of this is that Dakota, however Dakota wishes to identify, had...
Zaced.
has been given a wonderful gift. By the stranger, the ability to enact his will in whichever way Dakota pleases. And in doing so, has been able to mold themselves into the person they would like to be. The person you knew as Dakota is standing here in front of us, better than ever before, in his light.
Dakota smiles and like looks at Sister Mary, right?
Sister May.
Sister May. And smiles. And, like, says, like, a quiet, like, thank you.
She nods.
Yeah.
It's mid-roll time. You know what it is. It's your boy, Kendo. I don't know what that voice is, so I'm going to stop doing it. But thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means... literally so much to us that you take any amount of time in your day to listen to this thing that we put together so lovingly just for you. And I mean, you've made it with us this far. Like what? We're like 20 something episodes in. I imagine you at least kind of like this show, which is amazing to me. But also, you could be letting other people know how you feel about this podcast by leaving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, like literally wherever you're listening to it right now, I would imagine on like some kind of podcatcher, it probably has a way to review us. You can take a couple of seconds right now that I know you're probably drowning me out right now. No one listens to mid-rolls. I see the analytics. You could be taking this time right now to be giving us a rating review, and that's just another way for you to tell us and other people how you feel about this podcast. You could also tweet at us at Tales Yet Told, or go to our Instagram and like DM us also at Tales Yet Told, because that's brand recognition right there. You could also just tell your friends about us if you like us, because I mean, we don't put any money into like advertising this, so really the only way it's going to spread is through word of mouth, and we love hearing people talk about what's going on in the show, and well, you know, we like talking to you about what's going on in the show, so that would be pretty cool, because you could do all of that on social media. That's what it's for, I imagine. Ooh, also, if you haven't already seen, we made a big announcement this week. What's that announcement, you ask? Well, it's Tales Yet Told Prayers in the Static. It's our new actual play stream. We're getting in on Twitch, baby, and we're gonna be bringing you brand new stories in a collaboratively built sci-fi world that'll be taking place every other Friday, starting on April 1st at 7 p.m. Central. We will be playing Microscope. I, of course, will be hosting, as always, but I'm bringing on a new co-host, Ibrahim. You're a very cool dude. I've played with him a couple of times in other games, and we've been talking about this for a while, and we're just both very excited for all of the possibilities that could take place in this very, very new space that we're starting to build. So, very excited for that. And our first game will also have Gus and Marcy, who, well, you've just been listening to, because you've been listening to this podcast. So... very excited. We're going to be playing Microscope, building out the timeline of what this new setting is like going to be set in. It's going to be very cool. So hopefully we will see you all April 1st on twitch.tv/bardsandbrews. Shout out to them for, you know, allowing us a home for this brand new stream. It's going to be awesome. They've been incredibly helpful, and I'm just very excited for all the stuff that we're going to be building together. And last but not least, I want to give a huge shout out, as always, to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network, which has opened itself with flowing arms. Open arms. They've let us join their group of queers who are making podcast content for tabletop nerds just like you, telling amazing stories by queers for queers and other people if they want to listen. I think I have an ad for them that's coming up pretty soon, so it'll probably in the next couple of seconds. So I'm just going to round this off here by reminding you to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. Because self-care is very important, and don't forget to love yourself like I love you.
What does a barbarian war criminal, an undead cultist, a pyromaniac goblin, a Hot Topic reject, and a bard whose family is very, very cursed all have in common? Well, that's very simple. They're all our main cast. We are Goblets and Gays, a mostly Pathfinder 2e podcast set in a homebrew world. If Pathfinder isn't your thing, we have all sorts of other awesome games for you to enjoy. Join us every Wednesday for episodes of our main campaign, Blood of Kings, as these chaotic gays attempt to locate some missing royalty. Don't forget to follow us on all social media channels at Goblets and Gays to stay up to date with our amazing projects. And remember to eat your vegetables.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega-prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive holofoil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload, and good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to.
Dorothy frowns and takes a, like, good long look at Dakota and says, "That can't be Dakota. Dakota hates the stranger. Dakota would never work for the stranger, and that's why I know that you're not. You're not Dakota."
You know, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I would think the same thing.
I have a question for Dakota.
Well, certainly.
As per your mission, would you say you have tracked down Dorothy?
I would say that I most certainly have found the person I was looking for.
Huh, interesting. Would you say that your mission, therefore, since you have tracked down, recovered, she's right here with you, is complete?
I think that my mission's complete, I think.
It would seem so.
I don't like where this is going.
In that case,
I hate where this is going.
Huh. I think, you know, your mission's complete. you lose your boons because, you know, you don't have a mission that requires them. And you also lose your vows, of course. And I think in front of you all's eyes, Dakota reverts.
Oh, shit.
It's slow. It's a slow process. It's not like a poof, like there's smoke and, you know, Dakota looks like the way that you all knew them as. I think it's a process of they get a little shorter. The tattoo recedes down their neck and like into like the jacket where like the whole thing is just like slowly retracting itself. The spikes on the leather jacket like recede down into the jacket. The spider webs unfurling themselves from around it. I think the images of the spiders along the jacket climb up.
Dorothy takes two steps back at that.
That's so cool.
All of that. The head on the back. Of course, you all don't see it because you don't see the back. But I think the head on the back, these spiders along the head, like they're like around it because it looks kind of spider-fied, crawl back inside of the head of it, and eyes that were inside of the like the head of it roll out and like into the proper place. And Dakota, you're still wearing the same stuff that you do in the form, but it is now like form fitted to you and like less extra.
Less cool.
Less extra. So now it's just like a regular wolf head on your back. Still beheaded, but like not all spidery. Mm-hmm. Everything is just like regular studs and all of that stuff. The tattoo is gone. You look like Dakota, but like in a cool new fit.
Cool. Dakota is mortified, shaking. They can feel like themselves sort of like changing, like their muscle mass is changing, and a emptiness fills their stomach such that it's almost as if all of their fears and anxieties and self-hatred have manifested into a single point in their body and I'm returning at once. Mm-hmm. I think standing there in front of Dorothy looking down, his lips start to like tremble.
Dorothy's face is just pure confusion and a little bit of fear.
Dakota like looks around the room at all the people in the room. Are they looking back?
Yeah, I think everybody in this room has their eyes on you.
Dakota starts crying and turns away from Dorothy and grabs the driver's arm and pulls the driver down the hallway and around the corner. And Dakota like puts like his arms on like the driver's jacket and looks up and is like, how do I get it back?
You need to vow to a mission, and doing so, you get the boons and vows associated to that.
How do I vow for a mission?
You would have to go down the hallway to where they're at right now. Unless you do. I mean, you can do that. I'm just letting you know that. Because he took the driver and like went down the hall with
him. Actually, no. I take it back. I was gonna do that, but
what do you do?
I think I'm gonna do something else. Mm-hmm. Walter talks to Dorothy. He says, "Dorothy, Dakota, I think Dakota needs us right now."
Dakota didn't want me.
I think Dakota has a lot going on. A lot of pain. And I don't think we can get rid of that pain. But
you know, maybe we can help share it.
Walter, Dakota doesn't want me. And whoever that scary person is, they don't want me. And I almost subconsciously keep, like, my, like, hands keep drifting to my, like, muzzle, basically. I have...
Hey. I know. Dorothy, I know what it's like.
Whatever Dakota's doing, they don't want me. And they don't need me. So they can go get a different sister. And I'm going to look up at Sister May. See if there's any other reason that she's called me over here. Basically just looking for, like, permission to end this encounter.
Dorothy, your friends arrived here. And the driver arrived here. Dorothy, they are here to take you with them. But I've assured that it will not be until you have finished your rehabilitation here. Though I have come to understand that time is of the essence. So I'm offering to you a chance to expedite your rehabilitation in a way. I can see, just from what all has happened here, that you all have been through quite a lot together. Possibly more so than most people have been through. And I was a little skeptical. I was not sure if it would be a possibility. But I think you might be ready to go through the rehabilitation and into the final step. If you so choose.
You mean I could stop being a rabbit?
Yes. And you can find your place here in the Sublime. And, you know, wherever they take you, so you can have be assigned your role. Do you think you're ready to let go of that which held you? Which shackled you to the idea of returning to an imperfect life?
No. Shackled me? No, I don't belong here. I don't have a place here. I need to get back to where my place is, which is my home, which is not here.
I'm afraid there's more work to be done here. I'm sorry, Walter. We will not be able to expedite this process.
It's not a perfect life, but it's my life, and I want it back.
She has, like, kind of stopped listening to you at this point and is now addressing Walter. She is not ready. It will take time.
No, I think she's ready to go home, and I'm ready to take her there.
I'm sorry, but you do not have the authority to do so.
But I want to go home.
You are home, Dorothy. And in time, you will see.
You were supposed to help me. Not just be like everybody else. They always tell me, this is your home now. This is your home. And it never is.
Who are you pleading to right now?
I'm talking to Sister May.
Gotcha. The other people... Whoever else told you this, I assume in your previous life, were wrong, but I have it on good authority, our Lord's authority, that you are home, Dorothy, and is ready to accept you as soon as you are ready to accept it. But that takes time, but I'm willing to wait.
Kendo, can you describe to me what is in
what describe to me again what is in this room, this area?
Mostly tables and food.
Breakfast food.
Tables, okay. Food, along the walls there are other tables that like have the trays of food. A bunch of people, around two dozen people are in here. Actually that's a lot of people. That's 24 people. No, that's perfect. Yeah. Around like two dozen people are in here sitting at these tables enjoying food.
Terrifying.
And then there's a hallway that like keeps going past this lobby with like doors on either side leading to various rooms, and then the hallway that you all came from.
I'm going to run off back to my room then. Whatever that room was that I was in before, I'm going to run back to it.
Okay. Cool. When you run back, you notice I don't know if you notice this. You run back. Walter, you notice. You've seen Walter. You've seen Dorothy run a lot. You've seen her run a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But damn, is she fast right now. Damn, is she so fast right now. Running on those little legs of hers. Yeah. Or like running on those little legs, and like sometimes her hands, it's a little weird. She sometimes gets on all fours and like as she's running, but it's, you know, it's fine.
Walter speaks to Sister May now. He says, "You said I don't have the authority to get her out of here."
Correct.
Okay. Walter goes into the hall where Dakota is.
Okay. Yes. Let's cut to what's going on in that corner right before you come around the corner. Dakota, you are here with the driver, pleading, like trying to figure out like a way to turn back. And she answers, you know, you have to vow to a mission, say it verbally.
What kind of mission? I don't know anything. Is there anything that I can just do? What I'll do anything.
There is a vibration in your pocket, one that you like kind of like had put off, like you hadn't like really thought about in a second. And like it's like a little jarring at first, and then it's like, oh shit, wait, no, that's my cell phone. It's ringing.
Like the kind of like hands like trembling, like reaches into the like pocket and like looks at the screen with like, is there anything that's on like the screen as it's ringing or?
It's the digital face of the stranger, like the way that he looked in the video game.
No.
And it's just, and like the caller ID just says stranger.
A stranger is calling.
Dakota kind of takes a minute and like swallows and like kind of chokes back some like snot. He goes, hello.
Hey there, shooter.
Kind of. No, this is Edgar.
Still got that spunk. I like that. You're looking for a mission.
Yeah.
I got one for you. To test. To see if you're ready. To take the role of the driver. Think you can handle it?
Please, anything.
There's someone here who shouldn't be here. Find them and make them not a problem anymore. If you understand my meaning.
I can do that.
Looking forward to see if you produce results.
And he hangs up. Do you accept the mission? Do you state it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you state it, you take which boons are you taking?
I'm taking Mark of the Stranger's Authority and a weapon that pierces all defense.
Okay. Awesome. You begin to undergo the transformation again. And as you do, Walter, you come around the corner and witness Dakota, like phone in his hand, spikes growing up along the jacket, like straps wrap, like bootstraps wrapping again around the legs, spiders crawling down. like crawling down the shoulders of the jacket. Almost, I imagine they're also like spinning the webs that are like wrapping around the spikes as well. You see the tattoo grow back up around on the neck and such.
I just want to say, as this happens, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like someone had been sitting on Dakota's chest for the few moments that took. And as this happens, it's as if like cold, like wonderful air is completely filling his lungs. Just a wave of relief and anxiety subside. Like a drag of a cigarette after a real long day.
Very nice.
Does Walter see Dakota on the phone?
I think you come around the corner as the stranger hangs up. So like he still has the phone up to his ear, but like the phone conversation's done.
All right. Walter just says, "What do you say?"
Oh, wrong number.
Don't give me that. What's your mission?
I thought you knew everything.
Yeah, that's what I wished for. I didn't really get it. But, I know some things. Some things I don't know. And, I guess the same's true for you.
I suppose. You get the things that matter, though, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes. Dakota, maybe you and I can help each other out.
Maybe.
You tell me.
I want to say that, like, as like you're still talking, like, Dakota's kind of like definitely putting on like a tough guy act, but like still like wiping like tears, like nonchalantly, like from his face.
You tell me what you need, and I'll tell you maybe something you could do to help me. Quid pro quo. If you're familiar with the phrase.
No. What do you want, Walter?
I want to get Dorothy out of here.
Okay. I think that's a common goal.
And, quite frankly, at this point, I don't care what needs to be done to make that happen.
Dakota, you have two vows. The first is wrath. Forbidden.
Who?
Suffering those who wrong you to go unpunished. And avarice, letting that which you desire escape your grasp.
Dakota looks at Walter and goes, "Listen, I can't bring Dorothy home as a rabbit. And I think we both know that.
Yeah.
So we have, it looks like, one choice here. We wait things out here. We play nice until Dorothy's good to go. And then we leave."
Can I offer a different solution?
I'm listening.
This transformation, mine and Dorothy's and everyone else's, I don't know how exactly to read it, but it's the same as everything else here. It's code. If we figure out the code, we get Dorothy fixed. And I'll tell you, the only other folks that understand what I'm talking about as well as I do are in the outer cities.
Okay.
Dakota, I understand that this is a safe option, but we don't have time to wait. And if we do this, we might lose Dorothy. Not to the transformation, not to anything like that, but we might... Getting this done here,
Walter.
We lose Dorothy to him.
Listen... I understand you don't need to lecture me, okay? But I have things I have to do here, and we can't just leave right away. Like you said, quid, pro, whatever. I'm helping you because you clearly don't have the power to get Dorothy yourself, and I need your help. You talk about code, talk about information. Well, I need information.
Is this that easy for you?
What?
You're just working for him now. Like, there's nothing. I understand that
No, no, I'm not, no. I'm not going to pretend like I understand. I don't. You know, I can't offer you everything that he does, but he tried to kill you, Dakota. You remember that?
Let me make my choices. I will help you and Dorothy to the best of my ability, but what I do with my life and my choices are exactly that. Mine.
Okay. Just make sure you're the one making those choices and not him.
Dakota kind of breaks eye contact with Walter and turns to the driver and is like, do you have any information about this person he's talking about?
No, I don't. But I imagine if we ask it around, we might be able to suss something out.
It kind of turns to Walter and goes, there's a spy in this church, and they need to be dealt with. And that's what we're doing. And then we'll take Dorothy and we'll leave. But if we get to this outer wilds and they can't help Dorothy, I'm bringing her back here.
If it comes to that, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not going to try to stop you.
Okay.
And, yeah, just as long as we both understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to cut to Dorothy really quick. I think this will be the last scene for tonight.
Yes.
No.
Dorothy? You are in the room made up for you. If you remember, it's like a small bedroom. It's like one bed in here. I think we talked about...
I thought there was two because Elsie was in here as well. I don't know. I don't remember if that was...
I don't think we said that there were two. Elsie is okay. Staying in here, but there is one bed. Yeah. It's not a lot of, it's not enough space for
two. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But yeah.
Bunk beds. Kidding.
Actually, there are two beds. That is correct. The thing that you might be remembering is that they also brought a change of clothes for Elsie.
Gotcha.
I
was like, I know Elsie was acknowledged in some way.
Yeah. They brought a change of clothes for Elsie. There are two beds. I think, yeah, they're bunk beds. Let's call it that. They're bunk beds that are in here. There's the one window that, like, look is, like, the small, like, window that's, like, on the ceiling, kind of... or not on the ceiling, but, like, you know, up, like, if you're, like, in, like, the basement kind of window, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A little dresser in here, like, a table, chair for you to write, that kind of thing. Yeah, and you are in here. Elsie comes in after, you know, you do. What's going on?
Dorothy's crying. Big surprise.
Big surprise.
Dorothy's feeling betrayed and confused and completely overwhelmed. And her instinct was just to, for lack of a better term, instinct was to run away and hide herself away in this room. And she runs back to the room. She climbs into that bottom bunk and like curls up in like the far, I imagine it's like, you know, in a corner of the room, right? Like it's against two walls. She's like in the back corner of it.
Yeah.
And just like kind of like curls up like around the pillow and is just like crying into this pillow.
You come in, you're crying into the pillow. Elsie comes in. I think she gets on, like sits like next to you, puts like a hand on your back, kind of silent for a while. And you hear someone else come to the door and knock on it. And when you look up in the door frame is Kayla. She comes in. Hey, Dorothy. You doing all right, hon?
No, go away.
Oh, Dorothy, I'm sorry. I know it's a lot. Trust me, I do. The first day is the hardest. And I know that's just, you know, a thing people tend to say about, you know, when you're going through stuff, but it is not easy going through what we got to go through, you know, trying to make it to the other side. It takes a while. I know you're upset right now, but I hope soon you're able to work through these feelings, you know? Sister May actually, she wanted me to bring this, and she wheels in a cart into your room. It's like one of those like old like metal like two shelf carts, and on the top of it is like an old CRT TV, and she kind of rolls it in. It's one of those like big ones that has a built-in like VHS kind of like as a part of the TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She wheels it in into a corner where like you can see it like from the bed, and it's like finds like a place to plug it in. Does it says, you know, if you ever get bored, I guess, or really. And she, and in her hand, she's holding like the cover of like a VHS. She's holding like a VHS tape and like in like a little sleeve. She says, "You know, these help a lot. Helped me a lot when I came here. Bit jarring at first, of course. But it helped a lot. It helps you really think about what's going on. Helps you reevaluate certain things. You understand? You know, you don't have to watch it. You can watch it if you want, but I'm just gonna leave this here." And she puts it on the shelf on the stand. Says, "Is there anything else I can get you?"
No. No.
Okay. All right. I understand.
Thank you, Miss Kayla.
Of course, dear. You're not alone in this. We're here for you. And she walks out of the room, closes the door behind her.
Dorothy sits with that statement and wonders if she can really believe that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't feel true at all.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, a little bit of time, she's going to go ahead and get up and look at the VHS case, see what it says.
The case says, "Looking at the way things could have been and the way things are, the first step to a better life." And there's just a sticky note on top of it that has like handwritten Dorothy on it.
Dorothy goes ahead and takes the tape out of like the little sleeve, and also just like for a second, like just kind of looks at the tape. She's never actually probably held a VHS before. She's seen, you know, how they generally operate. Like, she's not confused about, but she's like, wow, this is an old piece of technology.
Yeah, for sure.
Does it have anything on the tape itself, or is it just blank?
It probably has the sticker that you put on for like a VHS tape that like you record, and it just has same handwriting, Dorothy, on it.
Okay, she's going to take a look back at Elsie, and just, yeah, she's gonna look back at Elsie and she's gonna say, "What do you think it's about?"
Elsie shrugs and says, I don't know. Maybe it's just like church stuff. Or, like, maybe it's, you know those, like, meditation videos that are just, like, on YouTube? Those, like, 10-hour meditation videos?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that. It's just like music and cool visuals. And she shrugs.
Well, I guess it can't hurt. And she goes ahead and turns back to the TV and slides the tape into the slot.
Yeah. You turn the TV on, slide it in. You hear like the gears start like moving as they're like interlocked with the VHS. Pull the tape out, start like going into it. It's a very old, like almost kind of archaic sound that I don't know if Dorothy has any nostalgia for. I think she's too young to have any nostalgia for it. But it's got that low, that lo-fi hum of like just old tech. Going, and the screen flickers on, it's grainy and archaic and like such a, what I think is a very nostalgic way. And you hear like the sound of like music start to come up. It's soft, calming, and on it, it says the same title that was on the case, looking at the way things could have been and the way things are. The first step to a better life. It's like in a nice fancy script on a black screen, white text, grainy. The music keeps playing. I'm imagining it's like some like soft violin or something kind of like playing you into it. It feels almost kind of classical in that way. Then after a few moments, the screen, the text switches, and then it just says Dorothy in script as well. And then it goes to black, and then it plays.
LGBTQIA Actual Play Podcast Network.